This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wvuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and type in WVUA FM 90.7 and get to our show that way. Also, if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, please email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and we'll consider using your show topic idea. And this is our third show for the fall semester. We only do shows in the fall and in the spring. We don't do any shows in the summer, so we're always needing topics for upcoming shows. I think we've got several already scheduled and confirmed, but we need probably two or three more shows for this semester, I'm thinking. And I love to hear your topic ideas because they're usually trendy and innovative and interesting, and that's like our topic tonight. And it is just, I'm excited about this because this is something that I'm into, and I experienced this for myself and understand how important it is for mental health. It is shocking to me how many students I talk to who don't get outside that much, and they just don't know what they're missing. Tonight's topic is Leave Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants. Gardening has been around for as long as humans have been growing food. Through the centuries, gardens have served not only as places to grow plants, but as spaces for people to relax, to focus, to connect with nature and each other. Today, gardening can provide many mental health benefits for your daily life. So that's why I make an argument when students come in and they'll say things like they're scared of bugs, or they don't have time. That's the biggest one. Or it's too hot. I mean, we live in Alabama. It's 100 degrees. It's cooled off a little bit this week, but it was 100 degrees, 97, like this time last week. So that's a lot of an obstacle for some of the students who are not from here and are not used to the heat. But there's ways around that. My guest tonight is Karen Hugg. I hope I said that right, Karen. It's spelled H-U-G-G, so she's told me she's considering changing it officially to Hug because it makes people happy. Karen writes nonfiction and fiction inspired by plants. Her background is in horticulture, and her passion is living green things. Her aim is to entertain and inspire readers. She's a certified ornamental horticulturalist and master pruner. She's also a graduate of the Goddard MFA program. And I stole your title, Karen, for the show. So Karen's book, I don't know what year this was written. Tell us what year it's written. Leave Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants. Karen, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
What year, is this a recent book, or how recent was the book written?
Yeah, it is a recent book because during the pandemic, I had nothing going on. And thankfully, my husband and I and our kids were all healthy. But I was at home and I was in the garden all the time.
Yes.
And a friend of mine who is a nonfiction book editor, I'd never written nonfiction before. This was in 2020. So like the first summer of the pandemic. She called me and said, hey, did you ever think about writing that nonfiction book about plants and mental health? Because I'm going to go through this book coaching program, and I can kind of help you, think about it and get it together. And I thought, well, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. So I'm not going anywhere and I'm not eating out.
No one was. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of launched into it, and I just kind of started from there. And I had always thought about it because I worked as a professional gardener for almost 20 years. And what I found was, well, obviously, people love clean, you know, tidied gardens. So I made my clients happy all the time. And what they constantly said over and over again, different clients, was, this is my happy place.
Yes.
Thank you for my sanctuary. Whether I had designed it or I had just, you know, cleaned it up, they were always thrilled. And I just thought, gosh, you know, this is more than just being a gardener. This is making people happy, like authentically happy. Yep. And so then over the years, I kind of thought, what can that experience, can that feeling of getting your happy place through plants, can that be obtained by people who don't have a garden? So I kind of started thinking about people in apartments and or people who are physically challenged. How could they kind of channel, get, you know, dial into this feeling of kind of a sense of sanctuary,
right?
Through, you know, greenery and a natural space. So that's kind of what had always been on my mind. And that's what I knew I wanted to write about in the book.
This, and also, you know, I always think about people in nursing homes or assisted living, and they just, and even dorm rooms. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but I'm interested in, what is the difference? You said professional gardener. What is the difference in that and like a landscaper? Because I've never really seen around here, I've never really seen anybody, you know, label themselves as a professional gardener. It's more about landscaping and like planting, you know, shrubs, cutting grass. And the way you described what you did is something more of what I would be interested in, I mean, than a landscaper.
Yeah. Right. The services that come out and mow your lawn and trim your lawn or blow your leaves and that type of thing. Yeah, that is landscaping.
Right.
And what I had gone to school with, well, I'm a certified ornamental horticulturalist, which is a fancy way of saying garden designer.
I love it.
So that's like my credential. But what I spent years doing was going into people's backyards and, you know, basically coming up with a design, a plan, you know, patio and what plants would be in the backyard to kind of renovate the space, to transform the space from just a backyard into a true garden, more of a sanctuary space. So, so I guess professional gardener is sort of a term that I use that's kind of a catch-all, but I was basically a one-woman show. I was a woman and her truck. And so I designed gardens, but I also maintained gardens. And that was my bread and butter, is that I would come back oftentimes after I designed these gardens, trim all of the perennials, you know, cut back the roses, cut back the shrubs, that type of thing.
So you're also, you also have a background as an author.
Yes.
Are all of your books garden related or totally opposite?
Yes, no, they all feature a plant that usually doesn't exist but could. So some sort of slightly magical plant. My debut novel, The Forgetting Flower, was about a flower. I got that idea because I thought, what if, you know, I was always talking to clients about what to plant for great scents, great smells. I thought, what if you had a flower that you was dangerous to smell? What would that be like? What would happen there? And who would want it? And how could that?
No one. Wow.
So then I ended up writing The Forgetting Flower, about a woman who kind of inherits a plant from her sister that she has to keep hidden away in a, like a little sort of little greenhouse case, because if you take it off and it's blooming and you inhale the scent, you forget your last memory. And so that
could be a good thing.
Exactly.
It could be beneficial. This is fascinating. I've researched a little bit, you know, your book that I just referenced, the title of the show. I researched that book a little bit, but I didn't research the other ones. And this is fascinating. Have you always had an interest in plants and flowers? And where did you get that interest from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I grew up in Chicago, and I didn't have an experience till I was much older with plants.
Wow.
So what happened was I, like a lot of, you know, young people in my 20s, I bought my first home. It was a little house with a very small backyard that was very shabby. And I kind of fell in love. I would look in these catalogs and I'd read about the different plants you could plant in a backyard. And I thought, wow, this is cool. And then I saw a butterfly bush and it advertised, attract butterflies to your backyard. And I thought, what? I could control butterflies?
Yeah, like, what is
that? Really? Yeah. You know, I had no idea. And so I went to the nursery like the next day or so, and I got the plant and I planted it. And of course it didn't look like the catalog, which made it look perfect, but it was so stunning because I just fell in love with tending that bush. I would like putter around at night and I would just kind of relax while I was tending to it. And it made me feel great. And no matter what stress I'd gone through during the day, I always knew that I had this quiet space, this peaceful time when I was tending that shrub. And I mean, it didn't take much, but it was just, it was just like a point of relaxation. It grounded me.
And I think it's also, it gives you a small or maybe sometimes a big feeling of accomplishment.
Absolutely. Because when you get that plant to thrive, then you feel like, hey, I can do this. And you get more confident.
Right.
And then you try maybe another one and then another one. That kind of eventually led to my passion.
Let's go to a short break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about your credential of master pruner based on what we just spoke about. And also about one of your, I guess it might have been an article that I read that you wrote, or it might have been an excerpt from your book. And that's how I learned about you. So when we come back, we're going to pick up on that. If you'll just stay tuned for just a minute, we'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about plants and gardening for mental health benefits, basically. And my guest is Karen Hug, and she is an author of a fascinating book, Leave Your Troubles Behind. And there's a whole nother part of that. I can't remember. Leave Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants. And, you know, I think if I mention this to students, they would probably, I don't know, they might roll their eyes at first and not understand the connection. I think I could do a better job at promoting and helping them understand this if they just would have the patience, because I think a lot of students, if they live in certain places, if they live in dorm rooms, they really think they can't. I mean, I've been in a lot of dorm rooms over the years since I've worked here, and, you know, I've seen a lot of things. But I can't remember seeing plants that much, because I think I would notice that, because that's my thing. And I don't know if they feel like they would have the confidence or the time that it takes. But, you know, Karen, you can talk about this. There's a lot of plants that don't take that much time. The end thing now is succulents, you know, so that doesn't take a whole lot of time, right?
True. Yeah. Succulents do not take a lot of time. However, I will say this, succulents take a lot of light. And so, with any plant, the first thing to think about is where they grow in the wild.
Yeah.
And so every house plant grows in the wild somewhere. right? So succulents grow in the desert. So unless you have a really dry, arid, hot, sunny room, you have to recreate that to make a succulent happy. So while I don't know if Alabama is too humid for that, but maybe not indoors. Maybe indoors you could pull it off. But there are other plants too that are low maintenance, like a snake plant. When you were saying that young kids, you know, maybe don't have the time or whatnot. Yeah. When my kids were younger, I have three of them, and I had each of them grow just one house plant in their room because I wanted them to sort of understand that if you water this thing, it's going to get bigger, and you'll see. And that'll be you doing that. You will be the, you know, you'll be the
care of it.
Right. So I gave my son a snake plant or a mother-in-law's tongue. And it's great. And especially it's great for small spaces because it grows in an upright way. It's kind of got like these green, it looks almost like green giant blades of grass. Mm-hmm. And you only have to water it like once every 3 weeks. So I gave it to him and I said, put this in the window, water it. That's it. And so that's what he did. He put it in the window and he set on his phone a notice to water it 3 weeks recurring. Right. And his alert goes off and he waters the thing as every third Saturday or whatever it is. And it's like tripled in size from when I gave it to him.
It's a great way to teach responsibility too to younger children.
Right. You know?
And we have a lot of students who have pets at home and they can't bring their pets here, but they have that nurturing personality. And I think this is a good way to feed that nurturing personality.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's like your little green baby.
Yeah.
And when you see it grow from a little baby child into something that's much bigger and lush and happy, I mean, it's still after decades of me doing this, it still like kind of sends my heart soaring in a small way. When I see that new growth come on and it's lighter green than the other, you know, leaves. And it's just like that's your plant talking to you. That's your plant saying, I'm happy.
I guess so. You know, last year was the first time I have had an aloe vera plant forever. And it's gotten humongous, like the Little Shop of Horrors. If you don't know what that movie is, Google it. And it bloomed for the first time. I've never seen an aloe vera plant bloom. I didn't know what was happening because it shoots straight up and then it's this beautiful bloom. And I mean, the joy that gave me, I don't know. It's hard to put into words sometimes. And I think if you're a nature lover, you're just a nature lover. You notice things that other people don't notice outside. And, you know, when we went to break, I mentioned you being, having a credential of a master pruner. First of all, I have no idea what it takes to become a master pruner, but I think you can tell us about, I guess you can prune just about anything, but when I hear the word pruner, I think about a bonsai tree. And I think that would be something that somebody who lives in a small apartment or a dormitory room could do. What do you think? First of all, what's a master pruner? How did you get that credential?
Well, I went through a certification program to basically learn how to trim and prune in a healthy way all the trees and shrubs that were available in my area. So I'm a specialist, I guess you could say, for the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So that's just literally a certification that was offered through an organization in the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I'm qualified to trim trees or trim shrubs in a way that won't make it look like they got sawed off with
a chainsaw. Here we have crepe myrtle. You know, people just kill their crepe myrtles. And it's just sad.
I get you.
So would you recommend, what plants would you recommend for students who might be listening or anyone who might be listening and they have limited space, what plants or even trees would you recommend that they could prune themselves without killing them and maintain in their dorm room or their apartment?
Yeah. Well, one plant that's technically a tree, but will look more like a shrub when it's in a dorm room is a Schefflera. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty easy plant to grow. And you can trim off the lower branches at the main trunk and kind of get it to grow up. It's called umbrella tree also, yeah, as a common name. And that's because it has these big, beautiful sort of whorls of leaves that kind of look like an umbrella. So that's an easy one to sort of prune and play with, so to speak. But you know, a tree takes up a lot of room, and there's other plants that you can just play with, just to, you know, like even a pothos, you can trim the edges of it and make it bushier. You can let the strings kind of tendril down and put it up somewhere high and have that cool sort of tropical effect. Yeah. But there's a lot of plants. You know, my website has, I think I have an article that's 5 easiest houseplants to grow. And that's also in my book. And so anyone can go to my website, KarenHugh.com, and look, search for, you know, easiest houseplants, and they should find that information. But I would say the snake plant is one that's really super easy. And the pothos or devil's ivy is really easy. Peace lilies are really easy, which is really gratifying too. Like we were saying, it'll surprise you, because all of a sudden there'll be this, you know, white sort of, you know, spiral of a what's called a space,
almost like a leaf. Uh huh.
Exactly. So those are all easy to grow.
The research I did on your book, I'm just going to name a few of the chapters. Mm-hmm. And I want you to comment a little bit, because I'm especially interested in one chapter, but one of the chapters that caught my eye is what we've been talking about, slowing the stress and getting into green leisure. And you use that term. These are the chapters of table of contents, the chapters of your book. What is green leisure? What does that mean?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because that really is the heart of the book. So what I found, I was when I did my happiness research, so to speak, because I really wanted to think about, well, what do the scientists say? Well, what they have found are there are these recurring rituals or keys that make people happy, and they are learning, experiencing life with all of your senses, being idle in play, so taking time out just to play and fool around, supporting another life, somebody or something outside of yourself, uniting with like minds or other people, getting out and being social, recognizing what you have or being grateful for what you have in life, and exercise. And it was sort of no accident that I realized that these spelled out the word leisure.
They
didn't spell out work, right? They didn't spell out labor. They spelled out leisure. And so my aim with this book is for people to spend time doing one of those 7 things, if they can, once a week, being leisurely. Not if you want to de-stress, then learn something. Go and be mindful somewhere. Go play. One of the great things about gardening is that you're playing, you're experimenting, you're doing something low stakes where the outcome doesn't really make a huge difference. And that, scientists say, really supercharges our happiness. It really makes us happy. So if anyone, including students, can get away from the books, go for a walk outside, sit and have lunch in the courtyard instead of inside somewhere. Awesome. That will do just a little bit to restore and refresh you in a way that you would be surprised by, I think.
That's right. And not only vitamin D, too. I mean, we haven't even touched on that, because I know during COVID, that was in a lot of the research articles that I was starting to read that were coming out when we were learning more about COVID were issues with vitamin D. And many of our doctors here at the Student Health Center will send students for blood work to test their vitamin D, because there's some sort of relation between a lack of vitamin D and mood and energy. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's a huge issue here in the Pacific Northwest.
I bet. Yes.
Gloomy, rainy winters, and we don't get a lot of vitamin D. And, you know, everybody's got their happy light that they put on from, like, you know, November to, yeah, to March, but which works, by the way. But even if you can get outside every day just for 15 minutes, and it doesn't even have to be anything big, you can go, like I said, have your latte or your Starbucks drink in the park instead of being inside. That will restore your attention. And we know that because there was a researcher couple, Stephen and Rachel Kaplan, that did studies, and they found that people who went into natural settings on a break restored their attention and refreshed their attention, lowered their stress faster and easier and quicker, wow, than if they took a break inside a city or some sort of building.
Wow. I could totally see that. I get that. That's amazing.
And also, just a closed loop, it's that when you were talking about the dorm rooms and having plants around and a lack of plants, when you have a plant around, there have been many studies that show that just visually having a plant in your eyesight, even peripheral eyesight, makes you happier, more relaxed, and more able to focus.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. They did a study in South Korea that found they put plants in the classroom, right? And they did this over a period of a few weeks, and they found that the students in the classrooms with the plants, with the potted plants, performed better on tests, had better focus, had better attention, felt more relaxed, and reported a general kind of more sense of easiness and happiness than the students who did not have the plants in the classroom.
That would be such an interesting research project to do, even here, right, on campus. And that's one of the questions, sort of connected to one of the questions I had for you. Let's take a break, though. Catherine's giving me the signal, so let's take a break. But when we come back, let's follow up on that a little bit, because that's along the lines of one of the questions I had for you, and you might have already just answered it. But stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about plants and gardening for the benefit of your mental health. And my guest is Karen Hugh. She's the author of Leave Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants. And we were just talking about how plants are beneficial for your attention span, basically, and for focus. And one of my questions for Karen, and you got to it before I even asked you, were about the studies that have shown outdoor activities can reduce similar symptoms of ADHD. So, you know, I have several students who have already been diagnosed with ADHD, and I'm going to have to kind of ask them, have you thought about putting a plant in your study space? And I might need to find some of those articles you mentioned that will legitimize what I'm proposing here, because I think with that maybe they would try that, and maybe it would help them a little bit.
Well, you know, you mentioned a bonsai, and a bonsai I can imagine would be the perfect plant match for those kinds of students, because they take a lot of maintenance and a lot of snipping and a lot of, you know, attention. And yeah, so that would really narrow the focus down for those students, to give them something to do often, yeah, if they wanted to, a little project. But the other thing I thought of was, there's a great book written by this journalist named Richard Louv, L-O-U-V. And Richard did research all of what you're talking about, and found that many psychologists have found that young people who have ADHD, who spend extended periods in nature, their symptoms lessen and they're more able to focus.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like a magic pill, really. Yeah,
almost. It is. You're right.
Right.
Wow.
And so, like you said, it's the problem is getting them out into nature, getting them to do it.
And believe it and buy into it.
Right. Yeah. So if you're looking for a book that has the research, the book Last Child in the Woods, Richard Loeb's book is that book to read for that information. Yeah.
That's perfect. What about students? I have a lot of students who are perfectionists. And, you know, I some of the articles I read in preparation of for the show talk about perfectionism. And I guess maybe there's the risk of it making somebody feel worse, but I just can't imagine that happening. But if somebody is a perfectionist, then if something happened to their plant, they might feel like they failed, I guess was the premise. Did you do any research on that when writing your book or anything, or have you found anything related to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of have a few thoughts on that. And one is social media, on Instagram and other platforms, there's all these pictures of houseplants and how gorgeous they are. And there's a ton of houseplants and some woman in the photo you see, there's a woman who's watering them and she's all peaceful and nice and every plant is perfect, right?
Yeah, it's not dripping all over the floor.
Exactly. Nothing is brown. There's no
That's
brown
right.
leaves. And somehow she's growing it on an interior wall, nowhere near a window. Right. And so it bothers me. Right. So that is sending a message to have perfect plants. And I'm saying, don't look at those pictures because they're not realistic.
No.
If people are influencers who are spending thousands of dollars on plants, which is fine. And that's cool. But that is not how we grow plants in real life. And any experienced gardener will tell you, or houseplant lover, that you make tons of mistakes and the leaves turn brown. I have plants right now whose leaves are brown. Like, you know, it does not look like the photos that you see so often online. Yeah. So it's really important to know that a lot of gardening and a lot of plant care is hit or miss, and you will kill plants, and that's okay. And if you do, you know, if you're not successful, then you need to just sort of, you know, like thank the plant for being in its life, in your life, and put it in the compost bin. You know, I mean, like,
well, and to counter
and move on.
To counter that, some of the article, well, in the same article, it mentioned how gardening is a neutralizer for perfectionism. It helps with that because of what you're saying.
Yes, that is true. I mean, when you focus just on this little project and there's no politics, there's no betrayal, there's no noise, right? You boil down the essence of life into this one little project that is pure and just waiting for you. And that's kind of the beauty of the relationship with plants, is that it's just a little green thing that needs your help. Right?
And it's really something extra if you get a beautiful, fragrant bloom like Catherine's roses. Right now in my yard here, I don't know if tea olive grows in Seattle or in the Pacific Northwest. Tea olive is a shrub here that has a tiny little bloom on it. And they mine blooms twice a year in the spring and now. And they bloom for a long time. Now they shed, but I don't care. It really looks kind of like snow, which we never get here, so it's kind of nice. But they smell like apricots.
Oh,
and it is so fragrant, and you can smell it all over the yard. I can come out my front, you know, door, and I can smell it from the backyard, and it's a beautiful scent. And I just think that affects your mood.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's a whole element of surprise, too, where you step outside and you go, what is that? Where is that coming
from?
And then so suddenly you're surprised, and it's like a whole mini little discovery. Right? That'll make your day. in this way you never expected. So
one of the chapters that I want to ask you about, one of your chapters is called Growing Your Green Personality. And no, that doesn't mean weed. Cause I need to put that, cause you know, it's illegal here in Alabama. What does that mean? Growing your green personality. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, when I was working on forming the book, I realized that what may be right for you or me, or Catherine, may not be right for everybody. So, you know, I'm like a full on plant nut, right? Where I have a garden outside, I have, you know, house plants inside, I have fake plants that I like to decorate with, you know, I'm all in, right? But that doesn't mean you have to be. I mean, my husband, for instance, and I use this as an example in the book, he's not a gardener. He doesn't want to do nothing. He will dig holes for me. Like, that is his gardening contribution.
That's his thing. Yeah.
Right. So what does he like to do? He likes to walk just to the coffee shop every day, and that's down a wooded street. Or he will go for a bike ride down the trail that's kind of like in this green belt, And that's his way of leaving his troubles behind. That's his green personality. So what I say in the book is that most of the time, your green personality can be traced back to your childhood. And for instance, speaking of my husband, he realized one of his best memories was going to his grandmother's house in California and kind of playing around with the grapefruit trees and how incredible they smelled in March when they were in bloom.
How cool.
And ever since then, he has loved grapefruit. And that's part of his green personality. So
memories.
If you can go back to your childhood and think about a memory that made you happy, where is your happy place in your childhood? Was there a grandma that, you know, you kind of puttered in the garden with? Mm-hmm. Did somebody, you know, once take you on a fishing trip on a beautiful lake that you remember? What thing kind of gave you bliss? And if you can incorporate that into your life, like maybe once a month or once every couple weeks in just a short, you know, time frame, that will make you happier. So it's really about doing what makes you happy and not having to garden. You don't have to tend plants. You can go out and take a walk in the woods and not do anything with
house. That's right. And you might not be able to physically even, you know.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. That's kind of a lead into my next question is, are there limitations of gardening?
Yes. And what you mentioned about people who are like physically challenged, I have a little section on fake plants in the book because studies show even looking at a fake plant, even looking at a rendition of a plant, even looking at a photo of plants relaxes you and makes you happy. So if you're unable to water a plant or reach to a plant or something, you know, fake plants outside of dusting them maybe once in a while are a great substitution for people who are more challenged in that way. And also too, if you're in a wheelchair, you know, you can seek out places that are paved, like parks with paths and that type of thing. And those would be good matches for those people. But I wouldn't want people to miss out if they aren't able to garden or they aren't able to tend plants. And that's why in the book that I tried to bring those other options into it.
That's a wonderful idea. And, you know, because when you say plants, people automatically think live plants, you know, that's what you go to. We haven't even talked about photosynthesis. I mean, literally, I've thought about that in my office here. I know Catherine has a live plant. I don't know if you do, Catherine, in your office. Some other people do. I know Susan Mills behind me has a beautiful rabbit foot fern. It is gorgeous. If you've never seen it, Catherine, you should go see it in her office. And, you know, that would be very good in our offices since we don't have windows and it's healthy. I don't know the ins and outs because I'm not a botanist. But photosynthesis, you know, if you have plants in your home, they emit certain chemicals that are beneficial for us.
Yes, plants do create oxygen.
Yep.
And they don't create a lot of oxygen. So I don't want to mislead people into thinking that, oh, I'll just put in one plant and then I'll have a totally, you know,
clean environment.
Right, right. So, but they do clean toxins out of the air, and some are better at it than others. The pea psyllium that we were talking about is one of the plants, one of the star plants for cleaning air.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely, and that's one of also one of the reasons I had each of my three kids grow a plant in their bedrooms is because I wanted the plant to clean their air. So I totally recommend that. And actually, it for offices and interior spaces. Right now, I'm working on an article for Wired magazine about plants and tech gear. So if you are in an office and you don't have a window, you can, for relatively little cost, buy a grow light that will, you know, that you can tell us that with a telescoping arm that can go over your plant and you can create the sunlight that the plant needs artificially. Yeah. You can even, you know, do, there are great little gadgets like where you put a stick in the soil and then it connects to an app and you can check your soil and it tells you when to water.
Oh, wow.
So if you, you know, if you feel like you have a brown thumb and you're not good at growing plants, there's lots of technology that can help you with that nowadays.
And another option I think for mentioning the grow lights and such are, plants like herbs that you can use in cooking. A lot of our students, cooking is therapeutic for them. And, you know, they can grow herbs inside. You know, cilantro, basil, mint.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, and to take it one step further, there's nothing like a fresh tomato off your own vine. I mean, it's so sweet and wonderful to grow your own food. Yeah.
I'm growing peppers now, and my husband loves peppers. And these peppers that I'm growing, ghost peppers, and they're too hot for him. even he's like, I can't take another one of those. And you know, he just throws it away. It's horrible to say, but you know, they're pretty, but they're too hot. Listen, we're going to take our final break, and when we come back, let's talk some more about some resources and maybe some other ways that plants can help you mentally. And I want to mention another chapter in your book because I want people to really think about the books and the resources that are out there if they're interested in what we're talking about. So stay with us. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone, and our email is brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. If you have any questions for myself or my guests, please email those to me, or if you have ideas for future topics for the show, I'd appreciate some suggestions. We're talking tonight about plants and gardening for the benefit of your mental health, and my guest is from Seattle. You're actually in Seattle.
Yes.
Right now. That's her home. And Karen Hugh is her name. She's the author of the book of the same title of what the show is titled tonight, Leaf Your Troubles Behind. Leaf, L-E-A-F, Your Troubles Behind, How to De-Stress and Grow Happiness Through Plants. We've been talking about not only her book, but some ways to work plants into your dorm room or your apartment or into your office even. And how you can maintain some simple plants and give you a lot of benefit. And one of the chapters, I was researching Karen's chapters in her book, Uniting with Like Nature Minds. And I don't know if we have many clubs here on campus. And I haven't looked recently. Catherine, maybe you have. But I'm sure there's clubs having to do with outdoors, maybe sports and whatnot. But I don't know if we have clubs specifically for, you know, something like houseplants or anything to do with nature specifically. I need to research that a little bit because I think that would be so much fun, you know. Are there any suggestions you have for listeners with regards to, you mentioned the book, your book, not only your book, but the book by Richard Louv. I think that's how you say it, L-O-U-V. But are, do you have any suggestions for apps besides the one that can tell you if the soil is dry or not? Any suggestions for other books, magazines, even podcasts or screensavers?
Yeah. Well, there's a great app called iNaturalist, and you can identify plants, add to a database of plants, look at, try and figure out why your plant is sick and what may be wrong with it. That's a really great app. I'm all about identifying your plants because one of the problems I've found with clients is they will get a houseplant from the grocery store. And then they're not successful in keeping it alive. And then they feel like failures because they didn't keep it alive.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, yeah, but you bought an orchid and they grow in the Brazilian rainforest.
Yes.
And unless you have a Brazilian rainforest in your house, of course you won't be successful. No. And it's not your fault, right? So I'm all for finding out first what you have. And that I like apps to do that. And also a great resource is the Oregon State University Landscape Database. That will tell you exactly, that will help you identify what you have. They have pictures of leaves, fruit, nuts, the form of the plant, how big it gets, etc., and how to take care of it. And the it's the Missouri Botanical Garden, mm-hmm. which might be more useful for
people our in area. Alabama.
Yeah, that is an outstanding database of most plants in the U.S. and specifically sort of in the South. So those are great resources. The American Horticulture Society has a gigantic book. It's called the A to Z Encyclopedia of Plants, which will also help you take care of your plants and identify them. And if you're into houseplants, there is an author named Fran Bailey who writes about houseplants. And she has, I think the book is called The Healing Power of a Houseplant. And she talks about exactly what houseplants clean, what toxins out of the air.
Oh, wow.
What is, what's scented, what, like, for instance, there's studies that show that inhaling lavender smells, inhaling the scent of peppermint calms the nervous system. She has all that information in her book. So that's a great resource. She's a very experienced author. So I would recommend those. There's a fun website called Garden Rant, which has all kinds of articles about gardening and different situations with gardening, everything that you could possibly imagine.
And you know, this is not a costly hobby. You can.
No,
this is very inexpensive. That's right.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, you just showed me a bouquet that you said you came from your garden.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a $30 bouquet that you might get at the grocery store, right? That just
Maybe.
Came to you for much less cost.
Right.
excuse me. And also you can take cuttings from friends, propagate things for friends. Mm-hmm. In the book, I talk a lot about how easy it is to take little cuttings, put them in water until they get roots. When they get roots, you put them in soil. You can put them in those little paper egg carton cups and then cut the cups and give away little baby plants. So there's many ways to propagate plants through cuttings, through division. You could have a plant swap party. That's one fun thing to do is you invite, you know, friends or the people in your building over into the lobby of your building. This is something that dorm room students could do, and they have a plant swap or something in your in the lobby. Yeah. And you know, you just kind of make cuttings and exchange your cuttings. And maybe if you have leftover tools, leftover soil that you don't need, people can, you know, bring one home kind of thing.
I think too, we have a horticulturalist here on campus, probably a whole team, because our campus is huge and it's beautiful. And in the spring, it's just breathtaking. And I think it would be, Catherine, I think that would be such a cool outreach to have the university horticulturalist, it's hard for me to say that, come and maybe speak and present ideas, and also plant identification for the unusual plants and trees that we have on this campus that students don't even realize what they are, especially if they're not from the South or this area or this region. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, what's cool is when I was in horticulture school, but it was like the world that was in like in black and white in the background of my life. When I learned all about the plant names and what they actually were, it all came like it was in color and it all came to life.
Makes
right.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. Then I would drive down the street and go, oh, wow, that's a hornbeam. I didn't know that, you know, mm-hmm. like that has a very rounded. Yeah, I never knew what that was. You know, it just that's the learning component of the happiness equation. Right. That sense of discovery.
That's right. That's right. Last question. What's the most unusual plant or tree that you own?
Oh gosh. Well, I have a lot of them, but I guess the most unusual plant is one I talked about in the book as well. The common name is called Dead Man's Fingers.
Perfect for October. This is a great lead-in.
Exactly. And the botanical name, the Latin name is called a dicasnia. And what that is it's a plant that it's kind of a tree, and it grows with divided leaves. It's, I think, native to probably China or East Asia. And I won it in a horticulture contest in our classroom. This is ages ago when I was a student. And it produces these bean pods, and they're probably as long as one's hand, and they are bumpy, and they're kind of dark, dark blue, so dark that they look black, and they look very gross and weird and unusual.
Hence the name.
Yes, but the bean pods are edible, and they have this kind of delicious, gooey, meat inside. So even though it's called Dead Man's Fingers, the beans are edible and they're delicious.
I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. That's fascinating. And you still have it. It's still alive.
Barely. It's hanging on there. But that would be the most unusual plant I grow.
That's perfect. Thank you so much for being on the show. It goes by so fast. The hour has just flown by, because I could talk about plants all day. And this is fascinating. And I hope that the listeners will get some benefit out of this show and maybe try their luck at a plant, a snake plant even.
Yeah, a snake plant or even little air plants. You could string those from some decorative lights. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things you can do in the dorm.
Thank you so much. I know it's a couple of hours earlier out there in on the West Coast, so I appreciate it. And hopefully the show will be posted. We record our shows. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on Apple Podcasts, audioboom.com, and voices.ua.edu. Just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website, and that's counseling.ua.edu. I just want to thank a few people who always make our show possible. Dr. Greg Vanderwall, the Executive Director here at the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media. Of course, my production assistant, Catherine Howell, my colleagues here at the Counseling Center, and the WBUA staff who edit our shows every week. My guest tonight, Karen Hugh. And join us next week. We're going to have another interesting topic. It's called Listening, the Relationship Killer. So that should lead us into an exciting October. Take care. We'll see you here next week. Thanks again for listening. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.